Well, hello there, April.
Shh.
Is that really necessary?
You shouldn't be using our names.
We're at a pet store.
We're here to get a hamster for your granddaughter. You were thinking of a typical Syrian hamster. It's a popular choice, easiest to handle.
I don't have a granddaughter.
Shh! Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Pay attention. I have a preference for dwarf breeds, like this winter white here, or this adorable Raworski. This one tends to live a bit longer.
You could have simply answered my emails.
It was not secure.
And that's why we're meeting in a pet store?
Were you followed?
I've been on my feet now for 2 hours now. Running errands, doing the standard routine to spot a tail. There's only one door into this shop. No one has entered after me.
Okay, let's talk here next to this hamster wheel.
Why not send me an encrypted email?
You didn't properly encrypt on your end, so it's pointless now. I deleted your email and had to wipe the server and the logs.
The individual I emailed you about is former CIA. Used to work with Angleton as a mole hunter, until Angleton was forced out. As far as I can tell...
We're talking about hamsters, not moles.
If you'd like, I can simply send all of those to you in a better encrypted email.
The network at the Library of Congress has absolutely abysmal security.
It's better than AOL.
Joseph, the Major General needed a secure network. It was relatively simple to build. I can set something up for you of the sort in your home office. I have a source who can get you the equipment.
It's just, well, not something I need.
Do not use any of the private contractors. Most of them also work at the government. Your records will not be secured.
Could we have this conversation at your office, perhaps?
The NSA building is not secure.
Fine. Have you heard from the Major General?
I have not.
I'm worried. Whatever op he's been running, it feels messy. I've never had another former spook reach out to me before, and, well, I know it was a warning. I just wish I knew more.
Multiple military contractors and several prominent drug manufacturers are all sending their C-suite executives to an overseas off-the-books gathering. There's considerable chatter. Lots of terrible cover-up attempts going on across the board. But none of that has anything to do with the sort of business that the Major General tends to get himself involved in.
Yeah, none of this adds up.
I'll ping him again. No, he won't know what that means at all. I'll just send him an email. He's surprisingly adept with it. The word processor experience, I gather. They started me out in the secretarial pool, you realize. Recruited me straight out of MIT for code breaking, but the onboarding agent thought I was someone else. I was off. I didn't look at or act the part. Spent 17 days in the secretarial pool before my recruiter fixed the problem. He never apologized. Just unceremoniously moved me that fourth week. B3 classified division, where my real calling was.
You didn't speak up?
I type 110 words per minute. I was trying to get up to 120. Another weekend, I probably would have.
What were you talking about?
Hamsters.
So, if you get any information about the hamsters, call me, please.
If you get an unwanted email from this pet store advertising a sale on plastic enclosures, meet me here exactly 24 hours after that time that email was sent.
Understood.
Do you know how to tell when the email was sent?
I think I can figure that out. I got the message. I remember what you said. Heaven is nothing if you don't make the best of the rest. Oh yeah, the times define the lines. I can never go. Across. I lost the time.
Crawford, you drink about 1/4 of this liquid LSD, and you concentrate on if you do what you have in mind, what will happen. So, how this works, it is an activation roll, which is... Well, just roll a D100.
32.
Okay. You lose 9 willpower, and roll me 1d4.
That puts me at 5 willpower right now. With the one little caveat, little asterisk.
Yes.
Okay. And a d4?
Mm-hmm.
That is a 4.
You lose 4 sand as well.
Can I project that out onto my wife?
You very much can.
Drop her by 4.
It does cost more willpower, though, to do that.
It does.
So be careful, Crawford.
With 5 willpower, yeah.
Yeah.
And I can let willpower get to 0, or no, I can't let it get below, like, 2 or 3, right?
If you get to around 2, things get funky.
Okay.
It's, what is it? You get sluggish and stuff, yeah, at 2, and then is it at 0 you're unconscious?
At 0 you're catatonic, yeah. You are unconscious.
Okay.
But at 2 you need sleep.
Yes. Yeah,
I think 1's you got negative modifiers on everything, basically.
Yeah, it's a minus 20 on everything.
I think, yeah, 2 and 1.
So how much more willpower will I lose if I project it?
It's 1d4.
That is...
It's a gamble.
Dangerously close. I think I might just take the sand hit. I don't hit a breaking point.
Okay.
I'm 1 away.
He's 1 away.
1 away, alright.
Oh, yes.
So Jan and David, you see Crawford down this and stay upright.
Yeah.
God damn.
And his eyes are just glassy. And his pupils are moving, like, in a very erratic way, kind of all over, as if he's looking at something that you can't see. And he's unresponsive at the moment.
So David would be, like, pissed. But he's not gonna, like, say anything. I think he would try to stop him. And if he's not gonna stop him, then he's just gonna kind of, like, back up and look at Jan with a very concerned expression.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Jan's on high alert, but he doesn't know what to do about this. He's obviously can't stop it, isn't gonna stop it. He's mostly just worried that if Crawford goes insane, we'll see some crazy shit, that he's gonna have to put Crawford down, and so he's just ready in case Crawford does something.
Right. As you're kind of looking at him and reflecting on what you're gonna do once he's back, or if he ever is, you see his hair stand up on his head. And so does yours. I'd like for the both of you to make a sand roll.
Oh, yay. Alright, where?
Ooh, fun.
A 24 success.
I'm gonna hit my breaking point if I lose 1 point.
Oh shit.
That's a 73.
Okay.
You're worried about me.
I roll 1d4. Yep.
I'm at 37. My breaking point is 36.
Yep.
So let me roll 1d4. I could probably project, though, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Can you project onto the same bond multiple times?
Of course.
Okay. That is a 2.
A 2, okay.
So I am going to go ahead and try to project. That's a d4 as well, right? That's
yes. All
that is. Okay. A 2 as well. Okay.
So you lose no sand. Who do you project on?
I lose no sand, but I do lose 2 willpower.
Yes.
I'm projecting on to General Wallace O'Reilly, who is my only bond. Poor bastard.
He's just sitting in his office.
I'm going to, like, go off on that guy when
oh, yeah, you're going to fucking chew him out. Yep.
I'm now at 6 willpower.
Okay. As you see, and the room feels wrong. There's just something in the air. The air feels thick in some way. It's hard to explain. Everything kind of feels slower or sluggish, and, well, your hair is standing up on its own. Crawford, what is your... Well, what is the thing you want to see? Share with the class.
So, my intention is to take out a guard with one of my abilities, and I want to see if the ramifications of that are tolerable.
Okay.
And I fully intend to share with the class. The purpose of doing this was more for the sharing than the knowing.
So where would this poor guard would be taken out?
I was going to leave that up to Jan.
Yeah, he has no idea what you're doing.
Yep.
Right, not yet, but I would assume back in, like, the staff hallways or something like that.
Okay.
Or, like, near an exit. You know, like, off in the... Not where the main group of people is in this mansion.
Sure.
But not going to the basement because of the problems and...
Well, you don't know... You haven't been, so you don't even know what it looks like, and you've probably tried it before, trying to envision a place that you've never seen. Not a great idea. Okay, so make a POW test.
And we did see, like, the loading dock or whatever on our way in, so probably somewhere around there.
Yep.
Like a guard around there or something. POW roll is 52, and I have 85.
You have 85, yeah, okay. So you see time accelerate and then come to a standstill. And you see just this man talking with someone else collapse to his knees as smoke billows from his mouth and his eyes. As he tries to stop it, it seems extremely painful. He's bleeding from the ears, the mouth, and the eyes, until eventually you see the first licks of flame emerge from his ears, bursting his eyeballs as they melt on his face, like crying tears of blood, as his hands stretch as he tries to claw himself out and stop this fire starting from within at any cost, until he blackens from the inside and falls to the ground smoking. In a crouched over position, as another guard pulls out a pistol, and you don't really hear sound in this potential future, but you see that about six of these guards kind of come out. You see one kind of a door open, and they all have pistols, all handguns. They look like Glocks. Kind of look around, look at what's going on. They see that a bit of fire has started on the carpet. They put it out. And you see the smoking body that is Curl begins to dissolve into this very strange goo. Grayish or well, now a bit blackish mixed with this ash. And it just kind of, it pulls on the floor and it spreads. And you see the guards kind of look at it, and their eyes are glassy and strange. And other waiters and servants appear, clean it up, put it into some kind of box. And they go back into the door that was open, that you kind of see in your vision as one of these key cards. And you see an identical version of the guard that you just burned about 20 minutes later emerge from that hallway. They give him a handgun, little hat, he's dressed exactly the same, and he's posted at the same place.
I love that they give him a little hat.
Completely every detail is perfect. It's the same fucking guy.
Oh, lovely.
And you see that one of the guards kind of shows, like, the rack of the gun and everything, teaches them, shows him the movements, how it works, and you see this facsimile of the guy that you just killed do the movements to perfection the first time, and it seems good to go. Give him a pat on the shoulder and then leave.
What the fuck? What are we dealing with here?
Roll sand again!
What is this?
Roll sand, yes!
Roll sand again!
And so only Crawford is seeing this, right?
Yeah, we're not seeing this.
Yep.
Thank God.
Okay. What are we seeing?
Crawford having a vision.
And we see, like, his hair standing on end.
You see his, yep, you just see him tripping out.
Point of order, David has no hair. Oh. For what it's worth.
His eyebrows stand up.
Yes.
Yeah.
Maybe like a little piece of your suit just kind of is stretched.
Sure.
Just a little bit up, you know.
And to clarify, the goo is not normal.
No.
It's not what I'm expecting, right?
No, not at all.
I'm used to ashes. Like, it just disintegrates into ashes, right?
It looked normal for a couple of minutes, and then it just kind of, like, crumbled and boiled just a bit, and then it was this strange grayish goo.
Okay. And they literally boxed it up and took it away.
Yes. They seemed completely non-responsive to the... They were surprised, scared when it happened. But about 10 minutes later, it was all business. Good to go.
And no, like, civilians noticed anything?
Not in the area where you said it, no.
That's what I was going to ask, too.
It definitely brought a lot of, like, again, as security, like, 5-6 of them. And this whole process takes, well... You see what happens during the entire hour.
Okay.
So, you know that some of these guys are going to leave... Some of them are going to leave their posts.
Right.
For that potential future.
Okay. I would take all that in and... Do I get to wake up?
It's always a bit... When you feel like it's enough... It's always a bit longer.
Hmm.
And that's always the worst part where you kind of feel... things lurking at the edges of your consciousness, but eventually you go back, yeah.
So does Crawford need to trip in order to do this?
That's how it works. That's how it works for him, it looks like.
And in most versions, powerful hallucinogens. It's in the text.
It's powerful, all right.
I'll get him some water and like a warm, wet rag,
yep.
For when he... Seems to kind of come to, you know, offer those to him without words. Just give him the stuff, watching him really carefully to see what he's up to.
You see eventually his muscles tense up, like his entire body. You see the veins, and then he seems there, much more reactive than he did.
Well, that was informative, kind of.
Are you with us?
What did you just do?
I saw the future.
Fantastic.
Oh my god.
Are we dead?
He lit fires and he can see the future. Awesome.
No. I don't even know if the guy I tried to kill is dead. That was weird.
Who'd you try to kill?
Just a guard.
You should have aimed higher if you're going to go into a fictional future and, you know, let us know if it works. Kill somebody like that Lord of Time and see if that works. That'd be fantastic knowledge for us.
If I killed the Lord of Time, there wouldn't have been the response that there was. Let me tell you what happened.
Yeah, what happened?
Yeah, what's going on?
And I would tell you exactly what I saw and how I saw it. So, let's say I just told you everything up to him, the guard falling over and turning into goo. And then I'm like, and this is where it gets strange.
Okay.
I'd explain the goo part and be like, that's not what happens. Not when I kill people. They just become ash. You could blow them away or sweep them up with a dustpan.
Sure.
There's nothing to scoop up into a box.
Okay. So, Crawford trips on acid, burns people alive, but then they're not people. They're
what?
They're something else, right?
They're goo?
I don't think the goo part had anything to do with me, is what I'm trying to say.
You've already described what happened to them pulling another one out of the closet, basically.
Yeah, you know the whole story now. I just wanted to pause in the middle and make sure that...
Yeah, it seems like there's an identical clone that takes the guy's place.
Yeah. So, yeah, David would say, so what, they're clones? They're not real people?
I don't know.
None of them.
Like, he got training. It's almost like... I don't know, it was a new one?
Yeah, okay.
It was a facsimile of something.
Yeah, but of course, Crawford, this is your vision while you're on LSD, is what you're telling us, right?
I mean, you say that disparagingly, but in my experience up till now, they've been pretty accurate. Like, exactly accurate. Assuming I do what I plan to do with the vision. Same time, same place. We should get roughly the same result.
I've never heard of anybody having success using LSD to see the future. And I've seen lots of studies internally.
Have you ever met anyone like Bob?
But setting that aside, Crawford, you're saying that you can remotely choose a target within eyesight range and then kill them by burning them from the inside. Is that what you're telling us?
Isn't that what he did to your guy?
I don't know what he did.
Well, he doesn't know.
I thought he just used some magic spell or ritual or something. And
I would say among other things.
I guess that's the same thing. I don't know how this works.
Okay. Because I remember you had mentioned he burned him alive from the inside to David.
Just because he saw the corpse, or was told, probably.
I always thought it was you call upon some magical entity, and that entity does the... I don't know how the... Crawford, I don't know how this works, man. Did the star people give you power, or do you tell the star people and they burn shit for you?
I do the burning.
That scares me.
It's probably good, though, right?
It probably should scare you, but...
Eliminate any unnecessary complications?
It is taxing. Like, I can't just point at everybody in a room and wipe them out that way, one by one. I have much more efficient ways to do a whole group.
Okay.
I'm sure he does. Ah, fuck.
So, do any of you believe him when he described how... A living human being dissolved into a pile of goo and was replaced by a perfect copy?
Maybe.
So, this is tricky because normally the way I would rate that would be based on the sand loss, right? Or the sand roll, at least.
Yep.
I failed.
Your human don't help you here.
right. I mean, because, at the very worst, I think David just would think he's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And he probably wouldn't be too off.
I am a little bit.
But, like, I'm right there with you. You have, what, like, 30 sand?
Yeah.
I've got 37, so...
I have 26 right now.
Jeez.
Okay, all right. So I have a little more than you.
Oh, man. I'm in my 50s. I'm fine.
Yeah. But I feel like I failed the sand roll, but I also projected the loss.
Yep.
So there was stress taken because I failed the sand roll. There's the willpower damage and the damage to the bond. There's the stress there. I think he probably would believe him. He would treat it like that. He would, you know, I would treat it like that.
And your human would back it up. Like, as far as Crawford's aware, he's telling the fucking truth too, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, David has no doubt about
Normally, I would have asked you to roll human, but I'm not going to.
you want me to? I'll do it.
Sure, if you crit.
All right. I'll do it just for fun.
What do we got?
20? No way. That is actually 22.
Oh my god.
Holy shit.
Okay. Right. And that tracks.
This is why you roll it out.
It was kind of unconscious, but hearing with the sand loss you had and projecting and everything, you kind of realize something, especially with your human reading people, kind of listening to people and seeing how they behave and react. None of the of the servers, and you only heard one guard talk at all.
Yeah.
And it was basic, very basic language.
Okay. Was that the guard we saw at the very beginning that, like, made sure we were on the list or whatever and was like, go to your rooms?
Yep.
Okay.
And there's always a weird period. It's as if, like, I talk to you right now, then I just stop moving and kind of process for too many seconds. There's a stutter. And at first you were like, I mean, maybe it happens. But no, they're all the employees, the servers, the guards, the waiters, all have that really weird pause.
Okay. Yeah, so David's putting two and two together, and he would say out loud, like, the people working here, they're not human. They're not people.
What?
And less so than that Stefan or Catherine or whoever. They're not real. And he explains what he just kind of put together. He's like, you know, I've seen all these people. I'm very careful. I pay attention to everybody that I interact with or am near. It's my job. And putting that together with what Crawford just explained, I don't think they're real. I think they're a simulacrum. They're, like you said, a facsimile. It's, they're clones. They're constructs. What do they call them? Homunculi, right? Invented people.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Was that a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, it's information, which means we can use it to our advantage, hopefully. Information is always a good thing.
Yeah, it's basically makes the security here a lot worse.
Yeah.
They're going to be a very narrow train of focus, train of thought, with no creativity and no independent thought.
Probably exploitable.
Very exploitable. And but what does it say about the people that are running this thing?
Right. We still don't know who is running this thing.
Listen, David, you got to talk to these people. Talk to our hosts. I think maybe now is the time. Get a list of what's being auctioned. Find out more about them. Make friends. You know, get an idea of who their guest list is. Get an idea of, you know, and maybe you can say, hey, we want to check the items for authenticity or something. You know, can we have a look, a sample, whatever it needs you need to do to make sure the goods are legit.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we get on their good side. Hell, if they can duplicate people, can they duplicate this book? Can we get copies of this book made somehow? If we had a copy, we could do so much with that.
Sure.
Getting this guy off our ass, for instance, who wants his own copy of it.
So here's what I'm thinking. I'll go try to figure out all I can about who's running this thing and what's being sold and all that. But if we can deduce the language, right? Their programming, for lack of a better word. If we can figure out what compels them to, what pattern they're following, we can find a way to exploit that. We can maybe have them do anything we want.
It may be.
Which means it doesn't matter if we have permission or not to look at the items or whatever. We could just take them and get away quietly. Could you arrange for an evac tonight?
Yeah. We've got a drop coming tonight.
Okay.
Basically, it's offshore. I'm going to pick it up this evening. I'm essentially going to repeat my process where I go out for an evening jog. But I do need to set up some luggage in the interim outside near our vehicle, some empty luggage. And then later on, when I return, try to obscure the items and bring them back inside. Or alternately, I got to hide them outside.
Mm-hmm.
Those are my two options. Either I got to hide all of our contraband somewhere on this island, and I'm a little nervous about that because I want to be able to get to it.
Yeah.
Or alternately, I got to be able to bring it inside, which is also a difficult issue. But given what we've learned about these security people, I got a sense that they may be very easy to exploit. They didn't search our luggage when we arrived. They barely caused us any trouble. I can repeat the same process of arrival. And my sense is we're not going to have any extra security or even change in procedure. I should be able to smuggle in my dropped items this evening.
That's what I'm thinking, too. Let me see what I can do.
With what?
Understanding them a little better.
Well, you're talking about the owners, right? The people that set this thing up?
I'm talking about the landscape of the situation.
Right.
Yes, the owners, but also the guards and the place, security, right?
You know,
physical.
You know what? I'm going to come with you, David.
Okay.
I want to get eyes on this myself. I want to see what these guys act like, what this thing looks like. If we can get access to any of the lower levels, look at any of the product, I want to be there for that.
Oh, we'll get access.
I like to hear that.
Crawford, what are you thinking? Are you lucid? You're good? You're not tripping for 4 days?
I'll stay here.
In the room?
Yeah. I'll stay put.
I don't know, David. But you know what, though? Maybe we let him rest. Maybe he rests here, and you and I get some work done.
All right, whatever works. I'm not too worried about it right now. And I'm going to turn to Crawford and look him, like, dead in the eye and, like, give him a very sincere look and be like, we are on the same side in this. We'll figure out what we can figure out. My hope here is to get you your freedom. We need to figure out how to complete this mission, and we'll figure out something for this guy that's holding this over you. I know how it feels to be in that situation. Trust me, I do. you do what you gotta do. We'll meet back here in, what, 2 hours?
However long it takes.
We'll meet back here tonight.
Okay. I might just take a nap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good idea. You do that, Crawford.
With my 100 human, does it seem like he's actually going to take a nap?
So, before Matt answers, I do have 5 willpower, and I, like, legit could use the sleep. There is a perfectly plausible reason here.
David would also probably be assuming, because David knows about like what LSD does to people. I don't think he's ever done it himself, but he's definitely seen like all the MKUltra stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think he is definitely expecting if you took that much, you should be out for days. Like, you should be toast.
Not at this point in Crawford's life.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
The tolerance buildup is actually insanely fast.
So, Jan's gonna go put on he'll go change in some formal pants, get a nice shirt, sports jacket, you know, the one that's a little bulkier sports jacket so he can conceal a weapon behind on his lower back, you know, kind of clean up a little bit so he looks presentable. And then, so within 5-10 minutes later, he's ready to go.
Yep.
Okay.
So you go downstairs and start getting at the lay of the land and looking at patterns and how these the employees walk and go and essentially try to get something on them, from what I understand.
Yeah, it's just a little bit of that, but I think let's go meet the host. Let's go meet the host, David.
Yeah, that too.
I want to move to that conversation.
Okay. Who do you ask? To just an employee, or
sure, why not?
So I think probably what David would do is find a guard, and let me try to explain this rather than do it in character, because
yep.
I don't know how exactly, but he would try to say something. He would try to social engineer this guard into giving us information about like who is running this thing and where we could meet with them, whether that's trying to, you know, say like, I really want to thank them, or you know, whatever, that kind of thing. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
I could roll persuade if you want,
yeah,
or something like that.
Persuade.
Okay. Oh, 25.
Nice.
Under 80.
So you're going to ask who's the host and everything, going to ask questions. And the answers you get, which again, you always not notice that pause in between words sometimes, mm-hmm. but in general, after they said a sentence, you hear that it's a Dr. Emma Varney.
Ah, okay.
Who is very happy to organize this, and that she usually is in her study, but that she, you are lucky because she's right now... probably points to a lounge room where you see a couple of people, maybe 3 or 4 people, currently engaged in conversation.
Okay. And then is there any way I could get info on a guest list? Say something like, you know, I'm really hoping that my friend is here.
You see that the guard kind of like his eyes go a bit wide and glassy, kind of looks around and just does no with his head.
Oh, okay. No worries. No worries. I figured I'd ask.
And he kind of looks at you awkwardly.
Cool. Well, thank you for the info. I'll see you around.
You're welcome.
And so I'll leave. And also, part of what I'm trying to do when I'm having this kind of conversation is probing the feedback, right? So, like, I ask about the guest list, I get that kind of reaction. I'm logging that kind of mm-hmm. information. I want to try to build out how to interact with these things.
Yep. Yeah, I get you.
And then if Jan wasn't standing right next to me and heard all that, I would explain about Emma Varney and mention maybe this is the person. And like if we're huddled in a quiet space or something, like he mentioned, he being Fairfield, mentioned that the book was taken by a woman.
Hmm. She'd be an interesting person to know, but one thing I noted when we came here, they had a list. they've got a list. A list exists mm-hmm. of all the invited guests. So maybe there's a way for us to find the list holder mm-hmm. and then ask him, hey, did Bob Smithson's check in? Hey, did Michelle Pfeffernewson or whatever? I mean, just ask names and see if while he's looking at the list, we also look at the list.
Could we get them to re-verify that we're on the list by leaving and coming back maybe or something like that?
I'd rather them not say no. That would be troublesome.
Yeah.
But hey, that's what's backburner that. I want to talk to this Varney.
Yeah, so we'll go to that lounge and see if we can track her down.
Let's go.
You see a couple of people kind of talking. They seem to be talking more to her than other people, and she's very giddy. You see this, she's the only woman in the room, a tall, thin woman with long ginger hair and green eyes, and seems to be describing some kind of scientific process and very, with a lot of passion. The other guests, or you don't know who they are, but they don't seem as interested. Maybe one kind of nods and says, sees other people coming and kind of take the situation to just leave.
Mm-hmm.
You do see, Jan, a man sitting at the edge of the room with his arms crossed and kind of wearing like a black suit, quite nondescript. A tall, sallow-looking man with like very skinny, and he's got like, the skin on his face is kind of stretched out like skin on a drum.
Hmm.
You see his eyes. You spot him immediately. His eyes kind of dart around the room, looking around everywhere. And he kind of looks at you. Enter. Looks at David. He just stays there.
Is he by himself?
Yep.
Do I have any recognition for this guy? He seems pretty like he'd stand out to me, like if I had seen him before.
He does. The way he's placed, I'm not even going to make you roll for military science. It's the best. It's the best part in the room. If trouble arises, you just shoot down whatever caused that trouble. The guy's armed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
His suit is too, like there's a little crumple somewhere or something. He's armed. Very alert. Kind of sees you enter, stays there, doesn't say a word.
So David is gonna immediately go up to somebody else in the room
mm-hmm.
and just start talking to them and start,
yep,
you know, getting to know them a little bit, putting on this facade with the Russian accent and all that stuff.
Yep, back and forth. This person is actually for like a very well respected marketing firm, and they say that they've heard about this place and that maybe with the host and other people we can promote our work and the likes, and they just seem kind of disinterested, mostly here to make money.
And I'm gonna be, you know, kind of talking a little louder.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be heard, right? I want to be overheard. And describing, you know, the pharmaceutical company and what we do in our different markets and how we could, you know, we could use, you know,
yep.
some additional marketing stuff and getting into other countries and all this different stuff.
Yep.
That's what David's doing in the meantime.
Yeah, Jan is basically a step behind David, just kind of surveying the landscape and keeping an eye, especially on suspicious guys in the corner.
Yep.
And maybe even making eye contact a couple times to see what he does.
For sure. He sees that you see him and that you kind of spot each other out, and he just tilts his head a bit as a strange reaction and just nods.
Yeah, he only just gives him one nod as well.
You see he kind of flashes a quick smile. It seems like an earnest, although a bit too polite smile. And as he does, and there's a fireplace in this lounging room as well, you see the light of the fire kind of flashes on his teeth, and you spot what seems to be golden teeth in his mouth.
Ah, fuck.
What?
I think Jan knows who this is. Am I right?
Yep.
Jan knows who this
okay.
is?
Okay. He keeps it to himself. All right. I just nod. Okay, I'll let David do his thing.
Yep. So, David, you kind of chat, and you basically begin to kind of lure over.
Yeah, that's the goal.
Emma Varney, yeah. And she does, and she's very, again, passionate. speaks quite loud, and like as she gets more and more passionate, it rises up. Says, "Oh my, oh, and so who do you work for?" And that's, "I'm so happy that you're here, and I'm so happy to organize this, and I hope everything has been great so far." And kind of a weird clash with the other people you've talked to here.
Sure, yeah, who've all been very disinterested. And
yep, and kind of looking for their way in. She just seems to genuinely enjoy this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Would I have picked up from anybody else information about an item that's on the auction that would be of relevance to pharmaceutical work?
You've heard of a neo tissue?
That's okay. That's right. I remember you mentioning that. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So he'll share, you know, about their company and you know the name of it, and they are based in Russia, but they're moving into other countries and all this stuff, and thank her for the opportunity to be here.
Mm-hmm.
And all this stuff, because I think he'll put together, like, this is the— does she make it obvious that she's the host?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, so
she—
yeah, he'll run with that.
With your 100 human, she wants to be recognized. She wants to be respected and recognized.
And so, but he'll then ask, after kind of talking about himself, and he'll say, like, "Well, it's, you know, enough about me. Tell me about your work."
"Oh, well, I'm a biologist. My husband and I, we work on the same project, and some things that are being sold here, we kind of know about, or we got them, or we exchange them, or the likes. But the Edenites and the neo tissue, we worked on it directly."
"I was interested in the Edenites. It sounded like a fascinating specimen."
"Yes, very interesting genome splice we tried out, and it worked out great. Self-learning, self-feeding once per day, and perfectly innocent."
"Innocent? What do you mean?"
"They have absolutely no malice whatsoever. They don't have— well, they don't have the gene for it."
"Huh."
"Or the DNA. I don't know. I'm not a neuroscientist, but that's my own part of the deal was the whole self-feeding thing. But
yeah. Well, that's fascinating. It sounds like that could be revelatory for genetic engineering."
"Yes, well, it is. It is. I believe it's the first time that it's somewhat out in the semi-public, private sector, at least."
"Of course."
So it's exciting. It's very especially since my husband and I we worked on it for years with Project Catalyst. It's great, great stuff. And it's still going. We're still finding things. Well, not me now. I'm here, but yes."
"Mm-hmm." And he'll kind of change the subject and talk about the island and the mansion and how gorgeous this place is, and it's so, you know, sprawling.
"Yes.
The vistas and all that stuff." And trying to get her to talk a little bit about how she ended up here.
"Yeah, she says that she had heard about the island, but she was she says I was given money by what's his name? I know he's a big deal for the project I work for, but I don't think he's gonna join us. But he's the one that threw the idea. Croft."
"Justin."
And he's the one that essentially bought the whole place and said that I should do this. And here I am."
"Interesting, okay. Yeah, that makes sense."
"Yeah."
"Would I recognize that name, Croft?"
"Yes. His name is Justin Croft, and he's he's an enigma, quite frankly, but you probably would have heard that he did very low profile, but incredible amounts of trade in all sorts of, well, that you don't really know, in fact. You've maybe heard of subsonic weaponry, and his name has always kind of floated around, but this is higher than top secret shit."
"Okay. Interesting." "Yeah, and so he'll mention that. Oh, Justin. Oh, yeah, I'm familiar. I've had the pleasure to meet him once or twice."
"You have?"
"Yeah, I didn't know. That makes a lot of sense, though. It tracks."
"No one has ever seen him.
damn it.
She seems impressed.
Oh, fuck.